CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Robert Zubert. His new book is The Case for Nukes, How We Can Beat Global Warming and Create a Free, Open, and Magnificent Future. Robert, you've addressed what can go wrong and why. Twice in the 20th century and once in the 21st century, nuclear plants were shaken by events. But at the same time, these events have not discouraged the building of new nuclear plants with new technology here in the 21st century, and you provide in your book a very careful list of where plants are under construction, when they're going to be completed, when they started. And I see the list is very extensive and ambitious, dominated by plants in China, although other parts of the world island, Eurasia, everywhere. However, what is striking is how few of these plants, in fact, I only count two, are in the USA. What is the limitation of the richest country in the world about nuclear energy? Is it what we just talked about, Three Mile Island and Chernobyl? Or is it this other thing you produce, costs? Which is it, Robert?
It's hostile hyper-regulation. The Carter administration was heavily infiltrated by anti-nuclear people, and they created a new regulatory structure for nuclear energy, which is so complex, I have a diagram of it in the book. It looks like the New York subway map, okay? And actually, it's more complicated than that because each of those subway stops involves a whole subway map inside of it. And this has caused the time it takes a nuclear power plant to be built in the United States to grow from 3 years, which is how long it took to build the first one at Shippingport, to 16 years now. And as I show in the book, the cost of a nuclear power plant goes as its construction time squared. So if you multiply the time by a factor of 5, you increase the cost by a factor of 25. And it is that capital cost which is the primary cost of generating nuclear power. The cost of the fuel is only 5% the cost of the electricity. It's the construction cost that's everything here, 95% essentially. And or over 90, there's a few other costs. And that has been inflated by hostile regulation and other things that have made it very difficult to construct or even finance nuclear power plants. Like, for instance, the Governor Mario Cuomo, not the recent one, but the one we had in the 80s, stopped the opening of the Shoreham nuclear power plant after all the money had been spent to build it. It was set to go. That caused a $5 billion loss to the Long Island Lighting Company. And if you have government acting in such a capricious way, it becomes impossible to finance the construction of nuclear power plants, or else the interests in insuring it against this sort of political risk becomes very costly. And that's what's happened. The United States invented nuclear power. We had the first critical reactor. We had the first bomb. We had the first nuclear submarine. We had the first commercial nuclear power plant. We had the first large commercial nuclear power plant. And yet, and in the early 70s, we were getting orders for two new large nuclear power plants in the United States every month. And if that had been allowed to continue, we would have completely decarbonized the American electric grid by the 1990s, as France basically did. But they were stopped. So all these people who talk about net zero or net zero in our electric grid are precisely the ones who are at fault for stopping us from already having decarbonized our electric grid. Okay. And greatly increasing the cost of electricity to American consumers and American industry, which has caused loss of jobs.
I'm presuming that this list, it's a very extensive list, are pressurized water reactors, which is the model that was from Shippingport, from the original reactor built on Atoms for Peace more than 60 years ago. However, you include entrepreneurship. There are other ways to build plants, and I want to go through this list and ask what this means. Are these under construction? Are they dreaming about them? There's water-cooled. We've talked about that. But there's high-temperature gas-cooled. There's liquid metal-cooled. There's molten salt-cooled. Are those under experiment? Are they in beta anywhere, Robert?
There is a number, and I list them in the book, of relatively small entrepreneurial companies that are pursuing these alternative designs for nuclear power plants. Now, look, I am not in agreement with people who say that the pressurized water reactor should be abandoned because it's obsolete, because they're just copies of Rickover's reactors from the 1950s. Actually, the pressurized water reactors have been very successful. There's been over 1,000 of them on land or sea over the past 60 years, and no one has harmed anyone. But that's not to say that they couldn't be improved on. Now, the hostile regulatory environment actually has deterred major companies from trying new designs because, you know, there are things you could do that could make the fuel much cheaper, but the fuel, for instance, breeder reactors, you could multiply the energy use of the fuel 100 times over with a breeder reactor. But the fuel right now is only 5% of the cost. The major cost is construction. And if you go to the regulators with a new design, they're going to be even more difficult to deal with than they are if you go with them with a design that they're familiar with. So the major companies have not really gone into this, but there are small entrepreneurial companies that are pursuing each of these alternatives. These include, as you mentioned, the liquid metal reactors are breeder reactors. They can get over 90% of the energy content out of the uranium instead of about 1%, which is what the pressurized water reactors get. There's thorium reactors, which can make use of thorium, which is four times as common as uranium. There's high temperature gas-cooled reactors, which are more efficient. They get about double the energy content. People are pursuing these. But unless we get rid of this hostile regulatory structure, they're going to be blocked. The Biden administration, I'll give Biden one cheer here. He has actually had the Department of Energy give the medium-sized grants, $10, $20 million, to a number of these small entrepreneurial companies to pursue their technology. But unless the regulatory structure is corrected, this will end in the research stage. It will never get to the consumer.
All right, this is a political question, but it's logical from what you just said. There are regulators in Brazil. There are regulators in Egypt. There are regulators in Turkey. Until recently, China was a trading partner. Now, I understand it's in doubt. But in any event, there are regulators in China. Certainly, there are regulators in the United Kingdom. Do these regulators all follow the procedures that are here in the United States? And if they do, why are these plants under construction so ambitious?
Well, there's certainly regulators in those countries, and there's absolutely regulators in France. France has a quite intricate bureaucracy, but it operates, and I could make some criticisms of their system, but compared to ours, it's the pure rationality. Because let me give you an example of what's in our regulatory structure that's not, for instance, in the French regulatory structure. Okay. In our regulatory structure, you've got to go to the authorities and get your plan approved. Okay. But the authorities send it out to dozens of agencies, which all individually have to approve it. And for instance, one of those agencies is the Environmental Protection Agency, which will look not only at your plan, they will ask you to answer the following question. Why did you decide to build a nuclear power plant instead of something else? And you have to justify your decision to have built a nuclear power plant. Now, imagine you own some land in the mountains and you decide you want to build a log cabin on it. So you go to the mayor and you say, here's my plan for the log cabin, and you can see it's going to be a safe house. And the mayor asks you to prove not just that it's a safe house, but that it was the right decision to build a log cabin instead of an A-frame, a chalet, a Cape Cod, a candy store, a zoo, a guided missile silo. Okay, and somehow you managed to convince the mayor that it absolutely was correct to make this a log cabin and not a chalet or any of those other things. But then it's now open to the public to dispute the mayor's decision, and they can take you and the mayor to court to challenge his approval, okay, because they think it really should have been a chalet, okay, and then somehow you manage to convince the jury and the judge that you were right. They can then appeal it, okay? This is the nature of the process we have in the United States. It is pure insanity, and it was set up for the purpose of wrecking the nuclear industry. In France, there is a bureaucratic process, but it's set up for the purpose of making sure the plants are constructed safely and so forth, and various subsystems are present to deal with emergencies. You know, it's like this. We have regulation of airplanes. We have the FAA. But the FAA understands that its mission is to make it possible to run airlines safely, okay? It is not the FAA's mission to prevent the existence of airlines, okay? And the If the FAA was run like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, we would have no airlines.
Challenges. When we come back, challenges for the nuclear power business. Robert Zubern is the author. The book is The Case for Nukes, How We Can Beat Global Warming and Create a Free, Open, and Magnificent Future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.